Well, life is hard. Life is hard. Job, in the Old Testament, after all of his troubles, came to this conclusion. Man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. This past week in our midweek Bible study, we were glancing at Romans 8, and Paul put it this way. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, talking about the church, believers in Jesus Christ, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Life is full of challenges, hardships, loss, tragedy, and so we groan, to use the biblical term. Life is not the way that it should be, and it's not the way that it one day will be. The doctor's report, not good. We even prayed about it. The child, maybe a grandchild, we just sitting there watching them. They're drifting away. Away from the Lord and more into the world. Want to get your outlines out? Reality check. Life is full of burdens. That's your first point this morning. Life is full of burdens. Paul describes it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:4. While we are in this tent, he's talking to believers about life in this physical body, in this life in this world. While we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. We long for that day in the future. Life is full of burdens. And tragically, sometimes our religion is no help, but in fact, only makes things worse. For example, today we are literally living in the midst of a generation, a young generation of young adults who grew up in the church who are walking away in epidemic numbers. Your kids and my kids, your grandkids, walking away from the church and essentially walking away from the Lord, disillusioned, apparently by a form of faith that has failed to capture their hearts. Religion adds to the burdens of life by making our attempts to be right with God impossibly hard. What a lot of people read when they think about Christianity, when they think about church, is not a beautiful, rich, free relationship with God. They think of a heavy, burdensome religious system, and they reject it. It's interesting that Jesus' harshest words were for the, not the far from God lost rebellious sinner, but for the religious leader. In Luke 11:46, Jesus talking to the religious leaders, he says this, "You experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves do not lift one finger to help them." They take the free gift of God's grace and the salvation that comes through Christ, and they start adding rules and regulations, and it becomes a religious treadmill. What a contrast all of that is to the true offering of God through Christ. At another place, Jesus, speaking to the crowd, said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," some of it being that burden that even the religion is putting on you, "come to me and find, I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls." It's like Jesus is saying, "I'm not here, friends, I'm not here to add to your burdens, but I'm here to offer you hope and relief from them if you will find your life in me." And though we like the sound of that offer from Jesus, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest," we like the sound of it. Some of us are like this guy I heard about, it's over in the Philippines, and this little caribou wagon driver, he had his little bicycle carrying this wagon, and he sees this old guy on the side of the road, and he's got this big old heavy bag, and he's bent, and he's kind of walking down the road, and the burden of that is just overwhelming, and the guy has a little compassion, and he stops and he offers the old guy a ride up on his wagon, and the guy gets up on the wagon and he continues riding down, and he's feeling pretty good about himself, and he glances back to see how the old guy is doing now that he's given him relief from his burden, and the old guy is standing in the back of the wagon now, but he's still holding his burden, standing up in the back of the wagon. That's how some of us are with the Christian life. We're on the wagon, we've accepted Christ, but we're still bearing all of the load of our burdens. We've never really come to experience that which Jesus was offering, rest for our souls. The Old Testament law plus the traditions of the elders and the religious leaders, they kept adding more and more and more, and it became an impossibly heavy burden on the people. And Jesus comes along and he says, I've come to bring about a critical, radical shift, a way of understanding your walk with God and of what He requires of us, that it will set you free. I'm reducing all of that law giving down to just one law. One law. The New Testament calls it the law of Christ, which is the law of love. The law of Christ is the law of love. We actually had a portion of this on the screen earlier from Galatians 5. He says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature again." So we have this understanding there is a call to freedom in Christ, but don't use it to indulge your sinful desires, because that's just going to make you a slave again. But rather, serve one another in love. That's what you are set free to do. That's what you were created for. To be a conduit, to be an instrument of God's love to other people. And then Paul finishes in 14, the entire law. You want to understand the gist of the whole Old Testament law? And that's what he's talking about here. Summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And a few verses later in Galatians 6:2, he says, carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to love with real love other people. I found an amazing passage that really unpacks this with clarity in Romans 13. Let me read it for you. Follow along. Paul says this, let no debt remain. He's talking to believers. Let no debt in your life remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, he gets very specific. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. He's just selecting a few of the more well-known, the part of the Ten Commandments. And he lists them and he says, and whatever other command there may be. I think I told you before, some Old Testament scholar added them up. There's actually 613 laws in the Old Testament. He says, whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one rule or law. Love your neighbor as yourself. There we see it again. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Friends, if we could just really put our concentration and the focus of our lives around this one issue, what does love look like? What does the love of God through Jesus Christ getting its grip on my heart and moving out towards other people, what does it look like? I've been posing it in the question, what does love, what does Christ-like love require of me? So I'm going to transition. We're starting a kind of a new series. It's really built on the series we just have been working on. And I'm just taking this concept where Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. The command to love others as Christ loved us, which we've talked about for several weeks now, is to love sacrificially. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you to die to your own time, your own priorities of me first, and it's going to cause us to put others first. It's going to be costly because Christ's love for us was costly. It was sacrificial. And Paul comes along, primarily Paul, the apostle, who wrote. You get past the Gospels in the New Testament and the book of Acts, and you start running into the Apostle Paul's letters to the church. And what you find there is an amazing, if you kind of look through the letters, there's an amazing list called commonly referred to as the love one another's. The one another's. And what Paul is doing is I believe he's taking Jesus' original command to love one another as I have loved you, and he starts unpacking it in very specific ways. He's saying, you want to know what Christ-like love looks like? Well, I'm going to give you all kinds of examples. Bear one another's burdens. Bear with one another patiently. Encourage one another. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And the list goes on. There's like 25 different one another's in Paul's writings. You see, friends, the New Testament church was designed to be a church that radically loved one another. I don't know if you look around this room, this is the majority of our church family, and you think about the people that are in this room, do we radically love one another? Or do we superficially put up with one another? Mildly enjoy one another once a week? I think that the New Testament church was actually designed to be messy. And that we were to live intertwined lives that are passionate for one another. Living life deeply together as a spiritual family. Loyal, committed to the betterment of one another in our journey with Jesus. We were designed to put love into action for each other in the body of Christ. So, for this morning, with that as kind of a overview and introduction, I just want to talk about one application this morning, point three on your outline. The love question for today, how can I help carry the weight of their, meaning the other person, of their burden? I want to go back to a passage I referred to earlier, and we're going to camp there for just a few minutes the rest of this morning, and that's Galatians 6, 1 and 2, where Paul brings up this burden. Brothers, church members, brothers and sisters, family, he says, if someone is caught in a sin, or a pattern of sin is the idea, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself so that you may not be tempted. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I want to take these one at a time because what we're talking about is one person, a believer, seeing another believer in under the weight of a burden and coming along and helping relieve that load. That is the issue. But what we see in verses 1 and 2 is that there are two different ways that burdens can come into a believer's life. Verse 1 indicates that for some people at some time, there's always going to be some people in the body of Christ who sin is just winning big time. It gets its hold on us. And so verse 1 describes that person as one who is caught in sin. And again, it's not just that they, because we all recognize, I mean, yeah, I sin in certain ways every day. But this is talking about like a kind of a pattern of sin or of a certain kind of sin that's actually starting to like shipwreck the life of this believer. It's taking this believer who's given into a pattern of sin. Maybe it's an attitude or an addiction or something of that nature, and it's really starting to shape and take hold. And we all sit back and we watch it and we see it happening, or we know about it happening, and we don't know quite what to do. And the modern church way of handling it is that we live in an age where nobody is allowed to say anything to anybody about anything because, you know, we're all independent. And I'm going to live my life my way, and you have no right to speak into my life. And I just got to tell you, this is as foreign to the New Testament as any attitude and reality that we can imagine. It's not the way God meant it. Not that we're to meddle in each other's business all the time. I'm not talking about that being nosy and gossipy and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about believers seeing another believer going down a wrong path and seeing this clearly happening and then standing there and doing nothing. Now, we don't usually do nothing. We say, well, I will pray. I'll pray for that person. And that's okay as far as it goes. We should pray for others. But Paul seems to be saying, that's not enough. When you see somebody going down, when you see a brother or sister in Christ who claims to have faith in Christ going down a path that's going to bring tragedy to their life and hardship to their life, go after them, he says. Because addiction to sin or a pattern of sin in a person's life that's growing deep and has a grip on that person is a burden. You know how that is. You've been there. You get down a path where sin's got a hold on you, and it's a heavy weight. And the longer it goes on, the heavier it gets. And so his word to the church is, go after them. Don't just pray or pray, God, send somebody else to go after them. You go after them. In love. We're not talking about going and bawling somebody out, right? It says go and restore them. You go to them and you say, listen, I'm not here looking down my nose at you. I need Jesus desperately every day of my life, and you need Jesus. We know that's where life is. We know that's where the source of life is. Come back. Don't walk away. Our tendency, when we see somebody struggling, I mean, we get concerned in our heart, but out of fear, we take a step away rather than a step toward that person. And it's the wrong step. Don't let fear win in that moment. Don't step away from that brother or sister. Step toward them. It's time to have a hard conversation. Even as I'm talking about this, some of you have somebody in your mind, a person that you know that's just far from God right now, that is a believer who has professed faith in Christ and they're far from God. And friends, it's time to have a hard conversation. In love, to speak the truth in love. Not to go beat them up, but to go invite them, passionately invite them back home. To call them back to Jesus. Yes, to warn them. Warn them of the harm coming if they persist in walking away from God in the way that they're doing, marginalizing their faith. So let me ask you a question on that one. As we sit here, I don't know what your network of relationships, kids, grandkids, brothers, sisters in Christ. Do you have somebody you need to be having a conversation with? Having a talk about Christ and returning to Christ with somebody who's caught in sin. I want to encourage you. I don't know how else to say this morning. I give you permission. I encourage through the authority of God's word. I encourage you, stop being so passive when you need to go have those hard conversations. I can't promise you that it's going to bring that person back and the first time you go to that person. But that's not what the scripture says. It says go after them. That's part of bearing their burden. Verse 2 comes along and reminds us that there's another kind of burden that people have, not just the kind that comes from because I've got sin that's just going on in my life and I'm not dealing with it. That's a burden. But then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And it reminds us that in a fallen world, not all burdens are from my sin, from my personal sin. There's all kinds of burdens from living in a fallen world. That groaning that we saw in Romans 8. And we see that person in pain. And we can either move toward them or we can move away from them. And we can ask the question, how can I help lift that person's load? It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you comfort. Because helping people that are struggling, it's hard. It's uncomfortable. I'd rather just stay back sometimes. It's going to cost you. It may cost you time. Because when people are struggling, helping them out isn't a quick fix. And it may cost you some of your precious time to move in towards somebody. It may even cost you some money, because sometimes people's burdens are related to that kind of thing, and it may be investing in them in some way. As I was reading about this week, one quote that came to my attention put it this way: you cannot help with a burden unless you come very close to the burdened person, standing virtually in their shoes and putting your own strength under the burden so that its weight is distributed on both of you, lightening the load of another. And in this way, we bear we follow in the footsteps of Christ, who came and bore our burdens on the cross. So maybe you know somebody in your life right now that the burden isn't a sin-based thing, like they're caught in sin. Maybe the burden is a physical ailment or struggle that's just weighing on them. Maybe their burden is a broken heart over something that's happened in their life, a loss, a death. We just lost our brother Al recently. I know some others have had losses lately. Maybe the burden that they're carrying is just sorrow. Maybe the burden is a broken relationship that has broken their heart. Or just a difficult, ongoing life situation that just feels like a weight. And you as a brother and sister see that in somebody else's life. And all that it means is you come alongside and you, instead of moving away, you're there for that person. Can we be there for each other in those kind of ways? Maybe it's going to require you to just sit and be present and listen. And let that person just unload, vent, or cry. Maybe it's showing up and helping them with just some practical need that takes the weight off of them a little bit and onto you. Sharing the load can look a lot of different ways. So I just want to encourage you this morning. What does love look like? What does love require of believers? It requires us to bear one another's burdens. Instead of walking away, you walk toward when you see somebody hurting, especially a brother or sister. And the question I simply have for you this morning is, who do you got in your life right now that's carrying a heavy load? And maybe it's you. And maybe right now you're saying, I can't move towards somebody else. My burden's so heavy. I can't do it. Then I want to encourage you, reach out. Reach out to somebody. We all ought to come into church and in our relationships kind of have a radar up. Who's hurting that I can minister to? I think you ought to pray that every Sunday when you come to church or any time that you get together with other believers. I think a good prayer to pray would simply be, God, help me to be sensitive today. Help me to be attuned, tuned in to somebody else that's maybe hurting today. And God, just simply show me how you would like me to minister to their heart. How can I help them with the burden that they have? I think God would do amazing things in us and through us. And frankly, I want to say this as I close. There's many of you who really already do a great job of this. You really are sensitive and tender to the needs of others, and you minister well to each other when you're hurting. And I just want to encourage us to take it to the next level. And right now, even if God is putting somebody on your heart, even if it's not somebody sitting in this room, maybe it's a family member that's walked away from God, Go after them in love. Let's pray together. Father, I know that in my life, I have had times where life feels heavy. And most of the time, your love has come to me in those moments through other people who see me hurting, who see me struggling, whether it's a sin struggle or whether it's just the burden of something heavy in life that's going on. And maybe it's a phone call from a friend or lunch with a friend. There's been times in our life earlier where it was a financial need, where somebody stepped up and provided something that we just didn't have the means to do, but we needed. And there's been times when we've experienced loss where somebody's kindness. I remember when my brother was murdered and the funeral service and some people from the church here took the time to drive all the way over to be with us. That meant the world, and I could just feel the burden being shared. Lord, help us to be a people, your children, who are able to look up and to look around and to see what's going on in other people's lives. And when we see somebody hurting, whether it be because of sin that's got its grip on somebody and they're just heading down a wrong road, or whether it's somebody that's just been beaten up by life in a sinful, fallen world, and it's overwhelming, God, help us to be a people that share one another's burdens. Help us to be a people who don't step away but step toward that other person and ask the question, how can I help? How can I help bear the load that they're carrying right now? Lord, I believe that's how your love, one of the big ways that your love actually pours forth in the life of believers, is when we love one another that way. Help us to be a people that do that more and more in the days ahead. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Now help us to love one another increasingly because you love us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.